I liked you better with glasses.
Too bad. I like me better without them.
Hey, pretty fans. It's book club time.
We're back.
First episode since damn near Thanksgiving.
Book club episode. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, we've been checking in with these bonus episodes here and there. Really fun to do.
Yeah.
Got some other bonus episodes in the running around on the old mind.
We have a couple of ideas for just like regular Better with Glasses bonus episode content. You can probably guess what some of it is.
But the book club has been like, got to get back to it. It's been a minute. So
thank you for your patience.
For real.
Yeah.
Earlier today, we ran through, listened to all the chapters on the ride home from lunch.
I'm excited.
Chapters 19.
19 through 26.
Dang.
I think you said at the end of our last book club episode that teacher was assigning a little bit more homework this time.
Yeah, I felt some kind of way about it, but we got through it. Some of those chapters were real quick.
Yeah.
So let's do this.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, thank you guys for being back with us. Hope everyone did their assignment. And why don't you catch us up on where we left off, since it's been such a long time ago.
Yeah, so last we heard from our heroine, One Belly Conklin, she had been real sad because she found out that 2-year boyfriend, Jeremiah Fisher, had some relations with Lacey Barone. She found out about it. They had what I'm going to call a hiatus, a little breakup.
We were on a break.
Something like that. And it was, there were two that we're talking about, right? Like there was an actual hiatus where then he hooked up with Lacey Barone. And then there was when she found out they didn't talk for a couple of days. Jeremiah pops back up, apologizes, and proposes. So she accepts. And then there's some good scenes of her finishing up her first year. There's, if you remember, John taking Belly and Jeremiah out to lunch at the steakhouse, Belly driving home with John because it's summer break now. So she's been back at her house with Laura and Steven. She's working at Bear's, and her and Jeremiah have been having conversations on the phone secretly. And I think the last episode ended on cake. It ended on them having a little bit of a disagreement on what flavor wedding cake, but they're just starting to have all these conversations, right? Like, what do you want for flowers? What do you want for cake? And the episode ends with those two talking about how they'll see each other tomorrow at Susanna's, the women's shelter that she's a part of did like a garden memorial for her.
Mm-hmm.
So that's going to be in Cousins, and everybody's supposed to be going to it, including Conrad. And the last chapter ends with Belly and Jer talking about how they plan on telling everyone. And then there's a little bit of debate on whether or not Conrad's going to be there.
Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, dun, dun. All right.
So where does she pick up in the new
assignment? I know. Okay. So chapter 19, I really like the visual imagery because I can see Belly doing all this, like in some sort of montage, Lola Tongue as Belly, like, she's basically primping. So she said she woke up before the alarm. She showered and had put her dress on before Steven was even awake. Like, she was ready to go. And her dress was like...
Good Girl Scouts, always ready.
So she describes that she was wearing like a lavender chiffon dress.
A lavender what?
A lavender chiffon dress.
Cool. Can you educate the class here on what that means?
Lavender is a light purple color, and chiffon is like a silky, like thin material.
Sexy.
Yeah. Yeah. So Belly's getting all dolled up, right? Now she's getting dolled up for two reasons.
What?
Number one, you know, you want to look nice and presentable. We'll get to this in debrief later, but it's going to be the first time that she sees Conrad since their accidental meetup, you know, several months ago at Cousins over Christmas. So I think it's okay that she wants to look nice. It's fine. But on the other hand, she probably also wants to look nice, not just because it's a, you know, a dedication, but because of the news that they plan on sharing.
Right.
And she's not wearing her engagement ring. So she's like carrying her engagement ring with her, and she like keeps it in her bedroom. She like only wears it at night. So it's a big deal.
She's waiting for the right time. When everyone knows, then she can start flossing that thing around.
I guess so. I guess so.
Like when your parents don't know you've got these rap CDs with the curse words on it. You can only listen to it at nighttime when you're locked alone in your room.
I used to do that.
Bro, yeah. Forget about it, man.
Except then I couldn't buy explicit CDs without my parent because it has an explicit warning on it. So for me, it was like more downloading shit. There's on a Napster.
Certain segment of the audience.
It was like Napster and LimeWire, and I was like, oh yeah, I'm going to download the explicit version, but I'll listen to it with my headphones.
Yeah, you guys got it easy these days with streaming.
Yeah. Anyhow, so then there's this really good visual, and I think it just reminds me of season one when Steven, I guess it's roles reversed a little bit, but I think Steven's asleep in the back. Laurel is driving and Belly is next to her in the passenger seat. Laurel just kind of says, like, have you heard from Conrad? Is Conrad going to be there? I think he's going to be there, right? And there's a really important part where Belly says to Laurel, like, I wouldn't get my hopes up. And Laurel is just kind of like, what a weird thing to say. And Belly's like, I don't know why I didn't just agree with her because I really did believe that he was coming. And it reads, if I didn't, would I have taken extra care with my hair that morning? In the shower, would I have shaved my legs not once, but twice just to be safe? Would I have put on that new dress and worn those heels that make my feet hurt if I truly didn't believe he was coming? Nope. Deep down, I more than believed it. I knew it.
Makes sense to me.
So some people have written in, they're like, is that a little bit problematic, or is it normal?
Well, not only is he Conrad, but he's her ex. So when you see, you know, in the history of the world,
right,
when you want to look like you're the one who's winning the breakup,
right,
that's just a normal
thing. I think that's normal. I think people can move on and move forward, and but like if you're gonna see your ex, it's like, yeah, you just,
I want to be kicking ass. I want to appear that I'm doing great.
Yeah, it doesn't necessarily mean that you're hiding anything, right? It doesn't mean that you're doing not great. It's just you want to look extra special.
Well, it's usually like, look what you missed out on, bro.
Well, I definitely think Belly has some of that going on. But we have to remind ourselves, folks, that this is also the same girl that the last time she saw him, he picked her up and put her on the couch, and her internal monologue said, oh my God, I still love you. So let's just remind ourselves that that was
the
last interaction. Yeah. So then it's more of the same stuff. Like, apparently they're standing in front of the place and Mr. Fisher's there. And they're just all kind of standing there waiting for Conrad. And even Adam's like, hey, have you heard from him? Is he coming? We find out later. We'll find out in the next chapter that I guess his flight was a little bit delayed, and then he tried to get there as fast as humanly possible, but he was still late. Do you think it's weird that they had Belly stay back and wait?
I mean,
because like Jeremiah had to go. Like, he had to go inside because he's the one giving the speech.
Well, the way everyone looks at them is like super close.
Yeah.
Like brother and sister.
Yeah. I think if they redid that for the show, I think it would be Steven who waits for Conrad.
Probably.
Yeah. Right. Mm-hmm. So it's not like, you know, knowing Steven the way that we know Steven, it's not like Steven's like, oh yeah, like, let me go inside. Like, I want to have first row seat to this thing. Like, he's probably waiting for his boy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. It also seems like this is a land without texts, right?
I was wondering the same thing. I'm like, yo, Conrad needs to be a better texter.
Right. Right. Which they did upgrade for the show, right? Because you constantly see Steven and Conrad texting, calling,
yeah,
right when he is like finishing his exam and stuff like that in season 2, episode 8.
Yeah,
so,
Taylor does a lot of good texting in some of the show.
Yeah, they even use the phone as a,
for sure,
as a character. So
for sure.
Yeah. No, that probably needs a little upgrade. All right. Then we got chapter 20.
Whoa.
Whoa. Why are you saying whoa?
Because we made it all the way through a chapter already.
Oh. Why else?
Because, is this the one where Big C starts talking?
Yes, it is.
Whoa.
So,
Chris Briney having a moment.
This is a quick shout out.
That mofo is on. He was on Fallon.
He was on Fallon.
He was on like the Today Show and stuff.
Yep.
He's all over the place.
He really is.
Yeah, good for him. He's getting out there. His star is rising.
Mm-hmm.
He looks, you know, he's got some nerves. He's still working through. Which, listen, I would too.
Yeah.
I think he's got a big career ahead of him though, and he'll.
Yeah.
Work all that.
Yeah, but he is Conrad, right? So if you are reading along,
lock your teenage daughters up.
Why?
Because he's starting to hit that like where your mom knows about him now.
Oh.
But the teenagers already knew about him.
Oh yeah.
But
yeah.
now, you know.
Yeah.
People, he's starting to become more mainstream.
Yeah.
So.
You know. Oh my gosh! Wait. Sidebar. You're speaking of moms knowing about him. Like, I just mentioned Mean Girls, and your mom's like, "Oh, isn't Conrad?" She's like, "I know somebody who's gonna be on there. Wait, who is it?" And I didn't even get to say it. And she goes, oh, "It is Conrad." And I'm like, "Your mom's talking about Taylor and Travis Kelce and
yep,
Conrad now.
This is my life.
It's a whole thing. I mean, it helps, right, that he's on daytime talk shows.
Yeah, no, that's hitting the demo.
Yeah." Okay, sorry, that was a huge sidebar, guys. But I guess what I'm trying to say is, if you're reading along for book club, that's all good, but we still highly recommend listening to the audiobook, because Lola and Chris and Gavin do a great job. And this book is narrated by Lola and Chris. So this is the first time that we're gonna hear Chris's Conrad, and it kind of just shows, I think it's important because it shows his point of view, and it paints it for the first time that he's not completely cool with all of it still.
Right.
And I think that's a really, really important POV to have. So it's him walking in, and he talks a little bit about who he sees there. He makes note of Jer giving the speech. He says it's a good speech. He says, I wish I was up there with him. My mom would have really liked that. There's a little bit of like a memory that he has of Susanna that's really sweet. But mostly it's him walking in, looking at Belly, and he says something that is a little sad, which is that he said she looked older, and he started to realize that he might start to not recognize her soon, that like she grew up.
It's been a minute since he's been around.
I mean, it's been since Christmas, but I get it.
He's out. Well, I mean, like, but in the overall, like, oh, yeah, 2 years, we saw him one time or something.
Right,
like that.
Right. So I love the visual imagery, though, because it just kind of shows how close these kids are growing up. He says, but when she stood up to clap, I saw the Band-Aid on her ankle and I recognized her again. She was Belly. She kept messing with the barrettes in her hair, and one of them was coming loose. Like, it's just like innocent, yeah, like, little girl imagery, like,
yeah, like regardless of how
pretty she is,
big or, you are, yeah, like, yeah. Right.
Okay. So we already talked about plane was delayed. He'd done 80 the whole time there. He was late. And that's a very, very short.
Don't speed out there, kids.
I know. It's a very, very short chapter where it starts to give you the inkling that he's not okay with everything. Is he says, I watched Jer sit down in the first row, take the seat next to Belly. I watched him take her hand. The muscles in my stomach clenched. I moved behind the woman in a wide-brimmed hat. This was a mistake. Coming back here was a mistake. So he hasn't really been back here.
Right.
But automatically, he's just kind of like, fuck, I don't want to be here.
Yeah, sometimes once you see it, now it's real.
Yeah. But can you talk a little bit about, I mean, we'll do this more as the chapters go on, but you really liked getting the Conrad point of view, mm-hmm. right? Because if not...
Not particularly this part, yeah. necessarily, but I think later on in the book, you get to really see where he was at certain points in time,
mm-hmm.
and it helps out. Because even in the show and stuff, you kind of are just, or maybe in the books, I don't remember which one it was.
Sure.
But you're kind of left to assume what he feels.
Yeah.
Like, you're kind of left to, and he's not a loud guy who's going to express himself. So you usually default to, he must not care because he's not saying nothing.
Well, yeah. Well, the core of Conrad's character is that he doesn't say what's on his mind. He always holds a little bit back, and
Right.
that's the communication problem between him and Belly.
So now, instead of having to fill in the blanks yourself, you get to hear what his internal monologue is. And his internal to his external is the most widest gap of all the characters.
You think so? Even with what they did with Jeremiah in season two? Like, Jeremiah's...
I think I'm talking specific probably book here,
okay,
I would say.
Okay.
Just because of what he does.
Right, right.
To what he actually thinks. Like, I didn't think he gave a shit at all until you hear his internal monologue.
That's like, true. Like, he lets her walk away. Like, there's not a lot of...
Well, you know, I thought he was really, like, didn't let anything stress him out. And then once you hear that his narration, you're like, oh, no, he is really fucked up by this shit.
Yeah, okay.
Like,
okay.
I thought he was a straight G. And now he's like, oh, no, it's really got him.
Yeah.
He's really pressing about this thing.
I know, which is funny because when you, when the motel scene happens, book and show, motel scene is how book two and season two end. You were just like, my guy needs to go to Stanford, put all this shit behind him,
right.
Like date some new women. And like,
I'm still there.
I know you're still there, but like, to
like,
your
if
point,
you heard his internal monologue, I'm like, come on, dude, stop.
I know.
Spelling out.
I
so
know.
Bad
but,
for
yeah,
it.
I know. But he's tried his best. He stayed away, and then he comes back and immediately is just put back in that situation. And he's like, okay, like he like fight or flight. Like he's like, I need to go.
I mean, yeah, it's,
and it's only going to get worse for my man.
The
so.
safest place to be is away from your ex.
Oh, 1,000%.
You know?
Yeah. Which leads us to the next part. So chapter 21, the speeches are over.
21.
And we get, so we're back to Belly's narration, and she says that she saw him. She's like, then I saw him. He was standing in the back, and she describes him a little bit. And she basically says that she lifted her hand to wave, but she was kind of frozen. She couldn't move. And then there's this whole description of like basically how the world stopped and she forgot that Jeremiah was standing next to her. I'm like, okay. And then she was the last one to walk over. Visual imagery, like I can totally see that being a thing.
Because does everyone know that they were dating, or is it kind of just still a secret?
Well, that's the thing. In the show, I think it was pretty evident.
Yeah, but in the book.
Because I was going to use the word shoehorned, but they installed that Thanksgiving scene. So it was like everybody in the
everybody
book, everyone in the show knew. In the book, in the book, Belly didn't even know if Conrad loved her.
Yeah, and in the book, it was like, we wanted to go to ice cream by ourselves, but then Steven would tag along and all this shit.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
it wasn't like.
So it was a lot. Yeah.
The
book
kind
was
of
a
secret.
Lot more innocent. It was, yeah, it was less out in the open. So
gotcha.
That's about to come up because everybody's hugging Conrad, and then something happens where Conrad, like, she says he opens his arms out for her to step in for a hug, and he had the smirk on his face. It's almost like a I dare you kind of thing, and she's like, fuck it. So she steps into his arms for a hug. He, like, slightly picks her up, and what does Adam say? And Adam
little
is
sister,
just, yeah.
Shit.
Some little sister stuff, like, oh yeah, look, Conrad's happy to have his little sister around, and they both
which
just kind of look at each other,
which is what tells me that it wasn't
really.
Open. Yeah,
right.
Awkward.
I mean, sort of including Jeremiah, right? Sort of including Jeremiah, because yes, he saw Jeremiah kissing Belly, but there wasn't that conversation between them of like, oh, I still am in love with her. So then Jeremiah, some people wrote in and were like, they kid, ugh, sorry, Team Jeremiah fans, but
I'll got your back.
Okay. He sees what's going on. He sees what's going on more than the parents do, obviously.
Right.
And it's not described that he hugs Conrad. Like, at least like Steven went up to Conrad and like put his arm around him or like slapped him on the back or whatever. It doesn't appear that Jeremiah acknowledged Conrad at all.
Yeah.
After Conrad hugged her and like picked her up or whatever, Jeremiah doesn't say anything. He literally just doesn't look at Belly, doesn't look at anyone, pulls out his phone and is like, I'm hungry.
Okay. Well, what if if Jeremiah does know and they actually did have something, but it's Jeremiah's girlfriend now and Conrad knows that, would you want your ex, your current girlfriend, to be lifted up and spun around by her ex in front of you?
Fair.
All right.
Fair. But if they're expecting that he's just okay with it, then it's okay, right? I mean, it's because they both know that it's not really okay. Like, the three of them know that, like, yes, there's this fairy tale world that everybody thinks Conrad should be fine and me and Belly are perfect. And it, like, all three of them deep down.
I mean, Conrad really did him a solid by moving to the other side of the country. For sure.
So then Jer wants to, like, just immediately go to the restaurant, but then Laurel's like, no, let's take pictures in front of the garden. And Jer kind of does it again a little bit. And I don't know if it's possessive. It's just, it comes off that way because of what we know. But if we didn't know what we know, or if the dynamics were different, then there's no problem with Jeremiah being like, I want a picture of just me and Belly. But in the context of everything, it's kind of funny. Right, so like they're doing all the, you know, when you have a family together, they're doing all the different combos,
mm-hmm.
all the different combo packages, yeah. And Jeremiah's just like, wait, I just want one of me and Belly, and he like kisses her, and I'm like,
it's just a little show off.
It's a little showboaty, and then immediately after that, of course, Lore innocently is just kind of like, no, let's get one of the kids now. So now you have Conrad slinging his hand over both Belly and Jeremiah. It's a good visual. Good awkward visual, because where the scene goes, where the chapter goes, is so awkward. Would you like to talk about your thoughts on the restaurant shenanigans?
I mean, this shit is crazy. It's like super cringe. It reminds me of like the Scott's Tots episode of The Office, where it's just like, oh my god, he's not gonna do this, is he? Or the dinner party episode of The Office.
It's made even better because Jeremiah is talking to Belly about it as they're driving to the restaurant.
Well, I think everything that played out at the picture taking and all that stuff has just made Jeremiah want to go for it even more.
Okay.
Right? Like,
and not that he's feeling invincible, but like that idea that he has to like prove something.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Right. Like, and I mean, I don't know if there's three different perspectives, right?
So right.
Conrad throws his arms around both of them during the picture. And that is kind of Jeremiah could take that the wrong way.
Mm-hmm.
Belly is over there saying like, oh, it's just like old times.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
but it's not.
The kids are back again. And I'm like, no, you've dated both of them. And like, what?
Well, she didn't say that. Laura was kind of the one.
I don't know who said it. Somebody said it like, oh, it's just like back in the day. Try and pull that up. I thought it was Belly who was saying it. Conrad. Jer's pissed. Belly is feeling like,
oh no, oh, Belly. Yeah, you're right. Belly said it. It was all like no time had passed.
Right. So I'm like,
summer kids together again.
Yeah. So Conrad's got his perspective of
trying to grit through.
And maybe I'm needling Jer a little bit because he just, you know, had to get one back and give her a kiss in front of everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And now Jer's like, oh, fucking get your hands off my girlfriend. And then Belly is like oblivious to the entire thing. It's like, oh, summer kids are back.
But then
a lot of moving parts there.
But then on the drive, it's like this anticipation is building up, and Belly is just like in knots.
Well,
she's like, maybe we shouldn't tell him today. And like, irk, record scratch, Jeremiah turns off the radio and is like, what do you mean?
Well, Jeremiah's got to read the room a little bit. Like, he just thinks maybe he's like had so many.
Do you think he's naive?
I think he's had so many successes over his short life that he doesn't think that something could go as wrong as this is about to go wrong.
Right.
You know, it's like when you're a football player and you've been great at everything your whole life, and you finally get millions of dollars and you decide to invest in restaurants and you just think it's going to work. And you piss your money away. Like, I think that he just thinks, like, everything's worked for me so far. How can they not go along with this great idea that I'm having?
Yeah, that happens in the second season, too, right? Like, the whole, you brought it up, but when he brings the flat, like, he's just kind of like, Conrad's going to handle it his way, but I'm going to bring Aunt Julia flowers and show up and just, like, be charming.
Yeah, charm my way through it. Belly, I think she read the room properly and it's like, okay, this is not the time or the place to do this right now. Like, maybe we can tell everyone in a group email, you know,
I don't know if
a week or two.
I think we talked about it last time, but I think there's an order of operations that has to fucking start with Laurel. It has to start with Laurel.
I mean, they need to know that the blowback's coming somehow.
Yeah. Also, we'll talk about it a little bit later on.
They're too dumb to know. They're too young and dumb to know what they don't know.
Yeah. Right.
They don't know what they don't know, and they don't know that this is a thing.
Right. And, okay, so I'm just going to nitpick here a little bit. I get that the Fishers have money or whatever, but Jeremiah bought the ring on the credit card mm-hmm. that his dad pays for. How much money do you need to make to not look at the bill and be like, I don't care how much, $800, $900, $1,000, which is on the lower end for anything that has a diamond on it?
It's probably like $500, $600, $700, $800 somewhere in there.
But your college age son is swiping the credit card at a jewelry store and you have to pay for it? Like,
well, the
he
credit card
know?
Bill hasn't come in yet. Probably.
Okay. All right. Okay. All right. Deniability. I like it. I like it. Okay. So fast forward. They're at the restaurant. They're all sitting down. They're all actually very excited. It's like a good day. They're celebrating Susanna. Adam gets up and like gives a toast. Very sweet, right?
About couple chapters for Adam. I thought he had the fisherman.
The fisherman. Yeah. Yeah. And it looks like, you know, Laurel and he have moved past the bullshit and all that and the sale of home. So then Belly's eavesdropping on the end of the table conversation between Steven and Conrad, where Steven's like, so man, why haven't you been back? Do you have a girl? And Conrad's just like, no girl.
He's lying.
So we find out later he is lying.
He's got like six girls.
Yeah. He mentions one later. Anyway.
He's playing.
Anyway.
Club.
So
sports.
But can you break down what this must be like?
Okay.
So Adam, right?
Mm-hmm.
Head of the table, whatever, is giving this like, thank you for coming out. Susanna would have loved this. Blah, 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 blah. He's standing up. And Jeremiah, when he's done with his speech, is like, we also have some news.
Bro. It's so tough. And everyone thought that they were pregnant, which would actually make it easier to swallow.
Why?
Because then there's a reason why you're making such a stupid fucking decision.
Okay, yes. But.
But now it's like,
I have had lots of conversations, and by lots, I mean handfuls of conversations with other fans, right? Who are like, what does Bill Simmons call it? Does that age well, right? Like, has that line aged well, that if a woman is making a decision to do something that everybody automatically questions that it must be because she got herself into trouble?
Oh.
Does that age well? I mean, I get it. It's very real, and it's a very popular trope. I'm just saying that trope is very like 90s to me.
Okay. Okay.
Right?
Sure.
Like I feel like post Juno, like we're in a little bit of a different world. But anyway, I don't care, because do I still think that it is going to be Laurel's reaction? Yes, because that's just Laurel.
That's what I'm saying. It's just like, that would make sense. If that makes, like, that, yeah, that would make sense.
It would make sense that parents would say that.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, it would make sense to me if I'm sitting there as Steven, like, oh, she must be pregnant. That's why they're doing this.
Right, right. But, it doesn't make it right or wrong. It's just like, it is a thought that people are going to have.
But now when they establish that she's not pregnant, then if I was, say, the parent, I would be like, okay, this, we can still unwind this.
Mm-hmm.
Because she's not pregnant, and we can just talk them out of this ridiculous, stupid decision. But I don't know. I feel like the fact that they did it in this one space where they mentioned everyone
announced it,
where everyone can kind of gang up on them and feel like now you're just pushing them to double down, because like, you know, if someone tells you no, you want to do it that much more. Like, we're going to prove them all wrong.
Yeah.
Had they done it in like, we're going to go talk to Laurel. All right. Tomorrow we're going to go talk to such and such. We're going to do a phone call with this person. It might have spaced it out properly.
Right.
To where they may have saw the reason and not felt so ganged up on and attacked.
Yeah. Well, that's what Belly says.
Right. She does say that. She's like, oh.
I mean, the dust has not settled, but like when they're done.
She also had the right feeling. Like, she had the right gut reaction to maybe this isn't the right decision.
Yeah.
Like, Jeremiah's the one who kind of pushed forward.
Yeah. And she's like, okay, so now they're ganging up on us. The funny thing is that she has that very lucid thought and then she doesn't know what to do otherwise. Like she's very quiet, right? Like, so her and Jeremiah are now just taking this from Laurel, from Adam. And it's not like Belly is like bursting into tears or getting hysterical and like yelling back at her mom. All that she knows to do to kind of like put her foot down is to slide the ring on her finger under the table. And it's her power move. But also, I am afraid that Laurel might jump across the table and murder you.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. After this reaction, I would just be like, all right, well, planning the wedding and wasting the money doesn't seem like it makes a lot of sense. We should just go elope or whatever, run away. If you're the only person who thinks this is a good idea besides me, let's just go get this done. And then, you know, fuck everybody else and try to make this work. Yeah. It doesn't make sense to fucking waste the money on a wedding that which nobody thinks is a good idea.
Yeah. Well, I think that's what's important about the next few chapters is because slowly but surely people come around.
I
like not 1,000% around.
I have a hard time getting there.
I mean,
like, I don't know. I could put myself in their shoes. And like, we have to go us against the world and make this work. But I'd have a hard time as a parent getting behind my 18-year-old.
It's just, while I don't know if this is going to be the storyline of season 3, there is a part of me that just wants to see that scene so badly. Because this whole scene, like the restaurant scene. Because the reason I think that people like The Summer I Turned Pretty so much, and what I think Jenny did an amazing job doing, is giving these characters to us in a way where we actually like all of the characters. So it's funny to like visualize the setting, and I actually feel for all of the characters, right? I can put myself in Adam and Suzanne and Laurel's shoes and just kind of be like, I see their side of it. I do feel bad for Belly because one thing that she was really excited about that she kind of like knew it wasn't going to be the right time just blew up. Jeremiah, as naive as he is, it's like watching a puppy get hit, right? It's like he's so excited and it's very naive, but then it's kind of like watching a, you know, puppy get a rolled up newspaper hit on his nose.
I feel like Steven was the most, that would have been me.
But that's what I'm saying. But yeah, no, like I want to see Sean Kaufman play Steven because that's exactly what the older brother reaction would be. And then I'm sitting here thinking like, oh my God, Conrad, if you thought it was bad coming back here to watch your brother hold her hand, like.
I mean, at this point, if I was Conrad, I would just think, okay.
What?
They're a joke. Like, they're a joke. Like, not this is a joke, but like, you can't even take them seriously anymore. You know?
Yeah, except, yeah. But he's always, he's not looking at I don't think he's looking at it in a way that like helps his mental state. I think he's looking at it in a way that's like hurtful to his mental state, which is like, oh my God, they really love each other. Because I think, I don't know, maybe he's waiting for Belly to snap out of it or something. And instead she said yes. So here we are. Anyway, the end of it is pretty believable. Like she packed a bag. She was supposed to go with Jeremiah after this whole thing. Mm-hmm. And instead Laurel pulls the mom car. She's like, get in the car. You're coming home with me. Which reminds us how young Belly is.
Yeah.
You know, like, because her mom is still such a big part of her life. So then chapter 22, we'll go through these pretty quickly. Chapter 22 is Laurel and Belly. Like, this is This is real. Like, they didn't talk for a week after that. She's living in her house. They're trying to avoid each other. And then one day she wakes up and she hears that her dad's here.
Okay.
So now all of a sudden, John and Laurel are
the
there.
The Maytag man?
Yeah. And I don't think that John just to me doesn't seem like he has that bone in him to gang up on her.
No, I think John would be the one who'd be like, you know, like try and tell her like the reasons why this might not be a good idea, but at the end of the day, behind you.
Yeah. Oh, at the end of the day, how do you feel about John and Laurel's approach? Because their approach is like, you're too young, it's a really big commitment. Hey, look at us. Like, they're basically just trying to say that you can love each other, but you still don't know the decisions that you're making, and sometimes marriages don't work out. So, like, that's the point that they're trying to make.
Listen.
But I don't think as children of divorce you care to hear that.
I thought they met in the middle.
Oh, the compromise.
I thought they made a good compromise by saying you and Jared can live together.
Mm-hmm. And we'll even pay for the part of it that's the same as living in dorms.
Thought that was great. Because that's like, it's basically the same shit.
Right.
Like,
for 18-year-olds who
a
are
big step.
For 18-year-olds who are in college, I'm sorry, but living together and being married is the exact same thing.
Yeah, right. So it's like, y'all could have basically everything. I mean, you can even tell people you're married if you want to. But, like, don't go through the whole rigmarole and, like, make it official, because you're 18. Give it.
But I think from what they're thinking, they're like, if it is the same thing, then why can't we just do it? And it's because you don't know what you don't know when you're that young. And I think it's Laurel who says, like, you may not believe it, but you're still figuring out who you are as a
person. Which is totally true.
Totally true.
I don't think you aren't yourself until you're, like, 25 or 27.
Well, even, like, biologically, aren't your brains not even fully developed until...
I think 27.
Yeah, I mean, for guys, it's even older than it is for girls.
We don't know. Don't know anything for sure. But...
research-wise.
Yeah.
All right. Psychology major here. Okay, so there's that. It ends very heartbreaking, though, because Belly is pleading with Laurel, like, that she can't be serious, and Laurel is just like, no, I'm not going to your wedding.
Fair. I mean, at this point, it seems like a way to deter her from going through with it.
Right, but then Belly is convinced that her mom is bluffing, and she's like, all there is to do now is steamroll ahead and set this wedding into motion. With or without my mom by my side, this was happening. And that's how that chapter ends.
I like the elope idea.
You like the elope idea?
I do.
Well, okay. So, your boy Steven,
mm-hmm.
It's a very quick chapter, but chapter 23 is Steven coming to talk to Belly. And he said multiple times, I think it's stupid. I think it's dumb. Like, I think you should wait. You guys are too young. Like, he says all the same things. Laurel is hoping that if it comes from Steven, and I think Steven, in a lot of ways, is hoping that if it comes from him, she'll take it differently.
Yeah. And he's only 1 year older. I mean, you can't, because of the situation where it came out, where everyone shut them all down, like, the joke fell flat, so to speak, you know, like, nobody laughed at their joke. Nobody agreed.
Yeah.
You know, they are now, they're dead set on it. Yeah. Now you're not going to be able to tell them anything.
Now, that said, 21-year-old Steven, who is still a kid in college, bypasses it very quickly because he gets all excited about throwing Jer a bachelor party and being best man alongside of Conrad.
It's not his problem at the end of the
it's
day.
Not, like, it's not.
Like, he's finding a silver lining.
Yeah, exactly. And he's caught in between, like, his mom and Belly. And
how many times can you, like, throw up roadblocks? Like, listen, if she's dead set on it and they're dead set on it, okay, let's, like, maybe this will be the 1 in 10 that works. Like,
right.
Hope you guys are working out.
In the show, we've heard Steven have way more opinions on Belly's relationship with the Fisher brothers than we get in the book. So, like,
well, it goes
if
deeper.
This happens in the show, is he gonna take it as lightly?
Well, the show is deeper, though.
I agree. I'm just asking your opinion that if you take this chapter, this interaction, is Steven gonna be, is he gonna take a stronger stance? Even if it's, like, harsher words, like, I think he still comes around, but, like, is he more plug.
It'll be interesting to see with him and Taylor talking it through, for sure.
Yeah.
Like, what do you think, Taylor?
Well, there's the other thing is, does Taylor find out first, and does Taylor tell Steven first? So is Steven in the know? Anyway, lots of things to think through. All right. Chapter 24. We can go quickly through this. I just love Taylor. So it's sad because Belly doesn't get to go dress shopping with her mom. She goes dress shopping with Taylor instead. It describes him at the mall, and Belly's looking for her wedding dress. And the funny part is...
The best part of all the chapters that we listened to was when... Well, we're not there yet, so keep going.
We are there.
Okay, well, they're trying on dresses, and it's funny because they're trying on, they're at like a gown shop or whatever, yeah. And it's prom season, and all the girls who literally are the same age as Belly are trying on their prom dresses, and here we go with Belly trying on a dress that's actually for the wedding.
Right.
But no one knows, no one else knows that.
But they look the same age.
Yeah, they look the same age. And some of the other girls that have no idea that this isn't actually a wedding dress are like, don't want to get the same dress as Belly because they think they might end up at the same prom. But really, it's going to a wedding dress. And then Taylor just...
Well, and then Taylor, I guess a parent overheard Belly saying it was for a wedding or something.
Like, what? You fucking piece of trash, basically, is what they're thinking probably.
Yeah, but then Taylor, who's just out there, like... defending her girl, she just kind of like looks her in the eye and just be like, yeah, you can't even tell that she's 3 months pregnant, just like as a joke. And then, you know, Belly and
Firestarter Taylor there.
I know, then love it. Belly and Taylor just kind of like laugh and run back into the fitting room. So that was cute. Before we move on from that chapter,
yeah, stick it to the Karens, you know,
before we get out of that chapter, black mark against Taylor forever. Dipping a ketchuped fry into a frozen yogurt is disgusting, Taylor.
That's a weird one. Yeah, that's weird.
It's gross. It's like even a weird instinct to have. So black mark on Taylor for that. But all right. Last chapter of this section, 26. And this is the Jer brings flowers after stopping at McDonald's. I always think of that for whatever reason. All right. That night I tried on my dress again and I called Jeremiah. I found my dress. I'm wearing it now. So basically, chapter 26 opens with Belly telling Jeremiah about her dress, but she also tells him how sad it was that she wishes that Laurel were there. And
fair.
And I think it's really Jeremiah at his best, right, is when he really cares about Belly and her feelings. And he can tell. He can just tell. It's not right if Laurel's not a part of the wedding. Like, it's just not going to be good. Belly is always going to be sad. Like, it's not. I mean, not.
At the end of the day, they're basically family. So it's like,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah. So then, the next morning, Belly and her mom are eating breakfast. And there's a knock at the door. And it's Jeremiah.
Damn.
Yeah. Jeremiah, who had driven there in the morning, had a stopover at McDonald's for breakfast.
Oh my God, my favorite part.
She says that when she hugged him, she could smell the McDonald's coffee on his breath.
McDonald's coffee, can't beat it. Large coffee, $1.79.
Yeah.
Best $1.79 coffee on the planet.
Yeah. These guys really love McDonald's, huh? We got the McDonald's coffee, the McDonald's McMuffin, and the McDonald's cheeseburgers all making a cameo appearance in the books.
Anytown, USA, baby.
All right. So, Jeremiah shows up. He has flowers.
Mm-hmm.
He comes in and he does his, I'm calling it Aunt Julia thing. So, if you watch the show, yep. Obviously, yep. We know what the Aunt Julia thing is. Like, I'm just going to charm the pants off of Laurel.
He tries to sell her.
And all will be good. And he kind of wins. He kind of wins to start. Right? He like, I love the group hug thing. Before we get started, group hug.
Yeah, it's like, I know exactly what he's doing.
You can see him doing
it. You can see it.
Yeah.
I do that all the time. Like, it's, I think Jeremiah could be a great like pharmaceutical sales person in his future. Because
he can get past that gatekeeper.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, that's half the battle sometimes.
Well, it's what's great about the Jeremiah character. I mean, it's, again, it's a little bit naive and it's a little bit like cocky. Like, I can get whatever I want. But it's like he has this charm.
At the end of the day, you're making people feel good.
Yeah, very innocent, like nice way about him.
Yeah.
And
he brightens Laurel's day up a little bit. Gets her guard down. Yeah.
But at the end of the day, Laurel's Laurel, right?
So, bro, like, come on.
But now it's finally, what I like is that Laurel's words have changed now. It's not her anymore yelling at her daughter, right? Mm-hmm. It's like she's sitting down and actually explaining to them, like, you're just too young. Like, you're not ready for a commitment like this. I'm talking about a lifetime. And he just, like, blows past and is like, no, I can do a lifetime. I can commit to that. It's easy. And the fact that he says it's easy is already, like, another sign for Laurel. And she calls him out. She's like, that's how I know you're not ready, because you take things too lightly.
Yeah, he just wants to win. You know, he just doesn't want to lose.
Or be wrong about this.
Also
right?
True.
Like, we were just listening to a podcast, weren't we, where, like, there was a little bit of a debate on, like, how soon is too soon to get engaged. And yeah. Everybody has an opinion, right? So, like, I guess the story was, like, it was 4 months. Somebody had met each other and got engaged.
Mm-hmm.
And we had this debate where it's, like, very clearly some people were, like, way too soon. Those people are stupid. Like, that wedding is going to be fucked. And it's not right to say that, but the host of that podcast said something really good, which was, like, regardless of how you feel about it, and nobody has a crystal ball about how it's going to go, and yeah, you can look at the stats on all of it, but if you're approaching somebody that you know about a decision like that, you have to tread lightly, because that person is on cloud nine right now, right? Yeah. The way that they feel, right? Like, logic aside, the way that they feel right now is a sense of, I love this person. I want to be with this person. So it's hard to break that. So yeah, Jeremiah wants to win, but I think he also is, like, feeling emotions. Rightly or wrongly so, he's very emotional.
I mean, we see it all the time. Like, we get an idea going, right? Mm-hmm. Like, oh, we let's go to the whatever, the Orioles game today. And we're like, okay, and we start thinking about it. And like, oh, are we really going to do it? Are we really going to do it? And then, like, some time passes and you're like, well, the cons list is way longer. But in that moment, in that first, like, 30 minutes, you're like, the best idea we've ever had. It's so hard to, like, pierce through, and then once you come down to your senses a little bit.
Yeah. And I think there's just something about Laurel snapping in front of Jeremiah that Belly didn't like, so Belly now snaps back, makes it super fucking awkward for Jeremiah. Belly runs up to her room, starts packing a suitcase, and is like, then you don't need to watch. She's like, if you're not going to come to my wedding and you're not going to support this, then I don't need to be here and deal with this, like, every fucking day. So she packs her suitcase. She doesn't really, Jeremiah has no idea what she's thinking or where she wants to go. He even grabs the suitcase away from her, and she's just like, no, I'm going to stay at the cousin's house.
I'm with Belly on that one.
But if you're going to do it, like, you don't want to be under the same
roof. Yeah, no, I mean, it's untenable.
Yeah, but then that leads to, like, a spiral of, like, okay, so she's packing the suitcase, she storms out of the house, she immediately goes and quits her job. She's, like, crying in the car, and I wanted to stop at this,
I think,
chapter.
It's important to say that, you know, at certain points in these chapters, when everything is at its worst, Belly does find comfort in Jeremiah specifically. So that's a good sign for their, you know, relationship at the moment.
Yeah.
So, like, that's why I'm like, y'all should just go and, like, get away together. Right now, like, that would be, like, no one's on board with this. You're not going to sell anyone on it.
Well, this sets up the whole rest of the book. And the reason I wanted to stop here is because preview for chapter 27 is exactly what you said, right? Like, Belly is getting away, which you're agreeing is the right thing to do. But you're like, Belly and Jeremiah just need to spend time together. Belly is now booking it to cousins. And Jeremiah is like, but I still have my internship. So, again, we're going to talk about this in more detail, but just kind of, like, tee this up mostly for you, hon. Belly and Jeremiah are having this conversation. He's like, yeah, well, don't forget, I still have my internship that I have to go to.
Is that in Boston or New York City?
Boston.
Is he staying by himself?
He's staying at home. It's, oh, yeah, it's just an internship. And yeah.
Okay.
So, all that being said, she's going to be at the cousin's house. She thinks she's going to be alone. And as she's driving there, Jeremiah's following her. They're in two different cars. And Jeremiah calls her when they're like, I think it's like 20 to 30 minutes away. And he's like, by the way, you should know Conrad is staying in Cousins this summer.
Which doesn't seem believable to me, because if Jeremiah was feeling the way he was feeling earlier at the dedication, he certainly wouldn't want his girlfriend to go stay with.
I think that's the point. Like, he doesn't really like it, but Laurel's a hot mess.
Yeah.
Belly is a hot mess and just stormed out of her own house. She's trying to seek comfort in being away from all of that, being at the cousin's house. And I think it is a little bit of Jeremiah's like, oh shit, like, Belly, you have to know Conrad's going to be staying there. It's probably going to be weird. And I can only come visit on the weekends. So, and Belly's just kind of like, it doesn't matter. What matters is the wedding and me not being near my mom right now. And, you know,
this is such a mess.
Her and Conrad are going to try to avoid each other for the most part at the start of it.
But it's just such a mess.
Yeah. Now we get into the mess. Now we're fully.
This is such a fucking mess.
Now we're fully into the mess. So now you know why I split the chapter right here. Because, like, this right here is, like, right before we launch into kind of, like, if this was a play, like, this is where the intermission would be between acts. Like, we're about to hit act two.
Laurel already thinks this is a bad idea. If she knew the whole, she would be like,
she does know
disown
the whole.
Disown her as a daughter.
She does know the whole.
She knows about Conrad like that.
Yes. Oh. In the book, I'm not sure.
No, you don't.
Okay, she knows that Belly really loves Conrad. And she knows that Conrad really loves Belly. She does.
I think she knows that they all love each other.
She knows. She knows. Because
I feel like Jeremiah said, you know, that you always wanted me to be your son-in-law.
I know, that's hilarious to me.
I mean, I think that she would have, like, agreed with that.
Yeah.
They all just love each other. Like,
I
more like
it.
A sibling. Like a...
No. No, we'll get into it. Like, the other thing I really like about book three is it really, really showcases how deep Conrad and Laurel's relationship is. And I think Conrad actually talks to Laurel about Belly and their son, like, a lot more. Like, by the end of this book, it is very, very, like, clear that, like, Laurel just keeps pulling Conrad aside and having conversations about, like, how are you? How are you doing? We just gotta let her go, kid. There's, like, a lot of really, like, deep moments like that. And it's because Susanna knew the same thing. Like, again, we'll get to the letters. We'll get to the letter that Susanna wrote to Conrad versus the letter that Susanna wrote to Jeremiah. Like, it's not, even though it's played as, like, fairy tale, like, kiddie romance or whatever, like, everybody knows that Conrad really loves Belly, except for Belly. And Jeremiah kind of knows it too, but as long as Conrad's doing this weird, like, pretending like he's okay with everything thing, Jeremiah is just going to keep rolling with it.
Such a mess.
It is a mess, but
like the fact that you're saying right now that Susanna and
we're going to get
Laurel secretly rooting for,
we're not, they're
rooting
not,
against
they're not,
their own.
They're not rooting. No. They're not rooting. You said, do they know the mess? They know the mess. They're not rooting against one versus the other. They're just saying that they know how deeply Conrad actually loves Belly. They know that this is going to kill him. They know it.
Okay.
They know that it probably is killing him.
Yeah. But did they know that they, like, were just dating for 6 months? Like,
yeah.
But you said earlier that they didn't.
No, Adam. Adam didn't know. I don't know the seriousness to which Laurel knew. But all that prom stuff,
okay.
Like, Belly came home crying from prom. Laurel was still taking the pictures. Susanna was still asking for prom photo. Like, Laurel knew they were together. The joke was that, did Adam even know? Probably not, because he's Adam.
But if Susanna knew, then Adam would have known.
They were apart.
It doesn't matter if they're apart. The one thing this divorced people talk about, or separated people talk about, is their kids. That's the one common ground they have.
I don't know. Well, yeah, I mean, if that's the case, then it just makes what Adam said super weird and awkward and unnecessary. But he's also super weird and awkward and unnecessary.
Well, then so, I would like, just think that all the parents don't like don't have any like true grasp of a real relationship.
They know. They know that. Well, okay.
They might know that Conrad loves her. That's fine.
Yeah.
But they also think that they all love each other.
No, but again, the way it's supposed to seem, which I buy into, is that Laurel deeply knows that Conrad loves Belly, like love loves, and so did Susanna. And they're not pinning one love against the other. They're not being Belly. They're not like, well, he loves me more, he loves her less. Like, they're not doing that, but they know how messy it is.
Okay, good.
Yeah,
because I remember, I don't know, I think Belly or Susanna, I don't know, but it was like Belly at one point was very clear that Susanna told her that she wanted one of her boys to end up with her.
Yes. Yeah, I think everybody knows that if it ends up being Conrad or Jeremiah, one person is going to get hurt. But also we're hoping that one person gets over it.
Right, and there's a better chance that Jeremiah gets over it.
The way that it's written, yes. It doesn't have to be that way, but the way that it's written, yes. But this whole thing, Laurel's not there yet. Like, this has nothing to, like, the way that Laurel's acting right now has nothing to do with the ramifications of Conrad. Like, yeah. Laurel's like, I don't care who you want to marry. You could want to marry the male guy down the street, like you're 18. Like, it's not
right.
not quite about that.
Yeah, I think we got ahead of ourselves a little bit. Maybe we'll.
No, this is good. This is good content, baby.
Okay.
So, we're gonna come back with another one of these fairly soon, because I gotta say, we're about to get into all the chapters that
27
that I love. 29,
30, 31, 27 through 32.
I'm good with that. It's like 30 pages, and it ends right before a really saucy Conrad chapter.
Good job. We timed it perfectly.
Oh my god, can we
No.
We can't go through 33. Oh, 33 is the Conrad Motel POV. All right.
At Better With Glasses Pod on Instagram, betterwithglassespod@gmail.com for any questions, comments, concerns. Thank you guys for checking us out. Thanks for listening to the bonus episodes. I hope y'all are having a really good new year so far. And we're going to try and knock out another Conrad's episode
tomorrow.
I don't know when you'll be hearing this. Just like we haven't forgot about the other Conrad's. That's all I'm saying.
Thanks everyone for listening, and we'll see you next time.